Hey, welcome in. Happy Monday morning. Welcome to Stack and Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. I just want to give you guys the latest in terms of everything I've been hearing. I had a nice, lazy, uneventful weekend of just refreshing Twitter and literally just being obsessed with any Giannis that might come in. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the latest I've heard. I'm going to give you guys a scoop from each of the other suitors potentially that are interested in Giannis. And then on the back half, I want to talk about if the Warriors were going to make this trade for Giannis, are they better off trading away Jimmy or trading away Draymond? We'll kind of compare the pros and cons and talk about what really makes the most sense for the Warriors. And it's close. There are definitely reasons for either, but we will talk about it on the back end. So let's just lead with the most exciting, optimistic news. Last night, Brett Siegel, insider for Clutch Points and connected to Mark Stein, who is a very credible source. And Siegel essentially says that if a trade was going to be made before the deadline for Giannis, he would be going to the Warriors. So kind of reading between the lines here, or not even between the lines, but taking it at its word, the Warriors are the leaders in the clubhouse. And essentially, it's going to come down to if the Bucks want to make a trade before the deadline or wait until summer. Also, this morning came out that Shams is saying that the Bucks have been aggressive in their talks. They've even started sending out counter offers to teams, which leads me to believe that they are serious about shopping Giannis and possibly sending him off before the deadline. If they're sending out counter offers and having aggressive, engaged discussions, they are open for business. And it's good news for the Warriors if you piece those two things together. Okay, separately, not spreading rumors here, but through a game of telephone. So this is a friend of a friend of a friend, but I have heard that there's a little bit of optimism, a vote of confidence. And I'm not going to name any names, but somebody who occasionally has contact with some prominent player on the Warriors, who is generally a pretty solid guy. I mean, it may or may not be true, and it may just be a feeling, and it may be premature, but he is pretty confident that Giannis is going to be a Warrior. So take it for what it is. I'm not spreading rumors here, but it just gave me a little extra hope through the weekend, coupled with this Siegel source and just everything that you've kind of been hearing. It's very possible that the Warriors and the Bucks, and this is just me speculating and just kind of putting all the breadcrumbs together, it's possible but that they have agreed to somewhat of a framework of a deal. Basically, the Bucks have said, okay, we like what you're offering, but we need to take it through the deadline and see what other teams' best offers are going to be. Because obviously, if anybody beats it, and it's a team that Giannis has on his preferred list, if that list exists, then of course they would pull the trigger on that. But as of right now, it does not sound like anybody has the Warriors beat. And let's take a look at all these other suitors here. So the most interesting one that came about kind of yesterday, Sunday, was the Chicago Bulls out of nowhere started just jumping up on a couple betting markets, but jumped from like plus 4,000 odds to land Giannis up to at one point past the Warriors at like a plus like 400 or even better. And it's like, what the hell is going on? Why are they jumping up? It just doesn't make any sense. I believe after scouring all day long, the only things I could find is that Giannis bought a property, a rental property, multi-unit in Chicago last week, which I'm going to throw cold water on, and as did a lot of Bulls writers, because Giannis has been picking up a bunch of properties in Wisconsin, which in Milwaukee is only like an hour and a half from Chicago. And then now Chicago, some in Brooklyn, he's picked up like five properties in the last whatever year or two. And, you know, something like this is, you don't just buy a property out of nowhere. I would assume this has been in the works for months, if not years. So I don't think this is a reaction to, hey, I'm going to be a Bull, I'm just going to buy a property. I think it's their fan base thinking that they have inside information. Did you hear Giannis bought a property? and they're reacting to that on top of the fact that I guess he was in Chicago yesterday and there's a video of him at a church in Chicago, which again, maybe he's just checking up on that property. Maybe he's just in the area because again, it's close to Milwaukee. Who knows, whatever the case is, but it seems like that's what the odds were reflecting. If you look at the actual logistics of a trade, the Bulls, I mean, they don't have many pieces. I mean, if anything, they're putting Buzelis in there, the number 10 or 11 overall pick from this year, which I've heard he is off limits. But if for some reason they said, hey, he's available, which there's no proof of anywhere, plus Ayo Dosunmu, plus they have a lot of picks. They do have, I think, more picks than the Warriors, potentially more enticing picks than the Warriors because they don't have a Steph Curry. But I don't believe that that Giannis would have interest in playing with Josh Giddey and nothing for the next however many years. It's kind of the same situation, maybe even worse than in Milwaukee. They'd be without any picks. They'd be without any other pieces. I don't really know, other than him saying, I really like the city of Chicago. I just don't see that happening. And again, there's just been no other trails that lead to the Bulls actually being engaged in a Giannis discussion. So I'm going to throw cold water on that. And it looks like this morning, some of those odds have started to come back down to earth. And maybe people are realizing that there's really not any smoke there. Okay, enough about the Bulls. Miami Heat, who I think is probably the number one competitor here as a suitor for Giannis to the Warriors. The Heat this morning, Evan Sidery has said that the Heat are shopping Tyler Hero, looking for a first round pick. The Bucks are not interested in a package centered around Tyler Hero as like their franchise young asset, which I kind of alluded to in my last episode. I just don't think Hero's good enough nor young enough at this. I mean, he's young right now, but by the time the Bucks are actually going to be back in contention, Hero's going to be like 30, 31, and on a max contract. He's going to need probably a max contract after this year. Is there a ton of value in there? You know, Hero on a max contract, like maybe, maybe not. Honestly, I don't even know that the Heat are going to get a one for him. But the news is essentially that they're shopping Hero for a one, which means that their initial offer on a Hero-centered package has been rebuffed and I guess counter-offered by the Bucks. So again, I'm still worried about the Heat. They have two first-round picks that they can move. Obviously does not touch the Warriors' four first-round picks, including late post-Steph picks and a pick swap. But do their players make more sense? Well, hey, if they can get a first-round pick for Hero, now they have three first-round picks, then you're putting together a package of Jaime Jaquez, Khalil Ware. I mean, you have to get someone in there for salary. So if you're not sending Hero, are you sending Wiggins' contract at 29 mil? I mean, you're not sending Bam Adebayo, I don't believe. I mean, he's in the mid-30s. But essentially, you would have to package. I mean, you can put together like Norman Powell's, I forget what he's making, but him and a couple others. But now you're sending the Bucks a whole bunch of players and picks, and you're pretty gutted as well. So the Heat can technically make it work if they're able to find some first-round picks for either Hero, Wiggins, or more. And then, again, they have to find ways to make the salaries meet. So a lot of work to be done for the Heat, but I do not think they're out of the running because Miami is just a hotbed for players. There's also a little bit of rumors that, hey, Giannis is not the biggest Pat Riley fan, and we'll see if that's even a preferred destination for him at this point. Other one that kind of came out, similar thought process, is the Timberwolves. So they have been also named as one of the aggressive suitors because they think Giannis and Anthony Edwards would love to play together. The Wolves, also from Evan Sidery, seem to be shopping Naz Reid and Julius Randle, looking for pick capital here, depending on what you can get for them. And then they would package those guys, those picks, with Jaden McDaniels, who is an enticing young player, probably the best young talent being dangled in any offer to the Bucks at this point. But the Wolves just, I don't think they have like any draft capital right now. They have like barely any, if any, first round picks at all. They have a long way to go. If you think someone's going to give them a first round pick for Randle, less likely than for Tyler Hero. What are you going to get for Naz Reid, who just signed a big contract and is getting paid? I don't know that they're going to find enough draft capital to make it work. And then they'd also have to send out a whole bunch of salary as well. Are you sending out Gobert's salary? If not, you are piecing together a lot of players similar to the Heat to make the contracts work. Essentially, both the Heat and the Wolves would be in the same position where you just have your one star, either Bam or Anthony Edwards, and then you're sending out almost all your matching sal your players to match salary and accumulate picks, and you're left pretty depleted, but again, not impossible, but a lot of work to do. Knicks, last team, which I think Giannis, we kind of know, is probably the top of his preferred list, but I don't think Giannis is forcing his way to one specific team. What Windhorst said this morning is the Knicks are not really shopping any of their players aggressively to accumulate picks. It seems like they're happy and they like their team. And we all know the Knicks have no picks at all, and they have to go trade like a Towns, maybe Anunoby, maybe Michael Bridges, just to accumulate enough picks to be competitive here and to get started. Doesn't sound like they're even really making an aggressive play. And by that logic, it might seem that the Knicks are bowing out of the Giannis sweepstakes. They've probably been given an indication from the Bucks that, hey, your offer's nowhere close. Here's what we would need. I mean, I'm guessing it's, hey, you need like four first round picks and then better young players than Kuminga, Pajemski, whatever. Maybe even need five first round picks, find a way to beat the Warriors' offer. And the Knicks have realized there's just not a way to do that short of gutting their team. So that's kind of me reading the breadcrumbs, right? It sounds like everybody other than the Warriors has been told, hey, you need more draft capital. And I believe it's just everyone's chasing Golden State for Giannis right now. And it sounds like the Bucks are engaged enough where, I mean, they're doing the work as a team would do if they were planning to trade him by this deadline. Incentive for them is, hey, if you don't trade Giannis by this deadline, yeah, there's more options that might open up in the summer, but Giannis only has one more year left on his contract at that point, then a player option, which essentially he controls his future. So you lose, if you're the Bucks, a lot of leverage with Giannis. If you wait until the offseason, he can pretty much dictate where he wants to go, even more so than now. And they lose a lot of leverage with him and might have to take a deal. If he says, I only want to play for the Knicks, or I only want to play for the Warriors, or maybe these three teams, because he can be more selective at that point. He also has an extension that he's eligible for 6 months after he's 6 or 9 months after he's traded to his new team. So he wants to get this deal done sooner rather than later. All those reasons have me leaning towards the Bucks trading Giannis by this deadline and leaning moderately towards the Warriors at this point. Okay, there's enough hope for us. I hate to get everyone's hopes up, but at this point, there's nothing else to do but just hope that our little Steph window remains open. Moving forward, let's operate under the fact that, hey, maybe the Warriors can get this done. Who would you give up in addition to Kuminga, probably Pajemski, all the picks, and who knows, whatever, maybe some other young players? Would you rather give up Draymond Green? Would you rather give up Jimmy Butler? Obviously, we all know Jimmy Butler is a better player overall, but there's a lot more to it than that. Also, kind of coming out of the Warriors camp lately is that it sounds like Jimmy has some assurances, whatever that means at this point, that he's not going to be traded. And based on Draymond Green's podcast, where he's talking about all the other circumstances when a player gets traded and your family and this and that, kind of sounds like a guy who might know he's either being put on the block or being traded away. Again, reading the breadcrumbs, it sounds like it could be a Kuminga-Draymond package. Let's talk about both sides. So, either if you keep Dre or you keep Jimmy, neither's a great fit. With Giannis, I mean, essentially, you're going to have spacing issues because you already have two non-shooters. Yeah, Draymond and Jimmy will shoot some threes. Jimmy's a little bit higher percentage, but will shoot it less. Either way you slice it, they're not commanding spacing from the defense. You're not getting that respect, and you're losing a little space to operate. Fine. They're both good enough players and give you enough else. But the problem is, in this day and age, in the NBA, you cannot play a lineup with three non-spacers pretty much at any point on offense. So if you have those two, you are a little limited by who you can play around them, unless, obviously in the second units and this and that, you only have one or the other on the floor at the time. The good news for the Warriors is they do have some stretch bigs that make it possible to play different front court combinations with Giannis, with Post. Potentially, if you make this trade, sending Jimmy out, you get salary and players back, which would mean you're getting like a Kuzma, a Portis, maybe even a Miles Turner, all who are, well, not Kuzma, but they're all kind of stretch bigs. I guess you can call Kuzma a stretch four potentially, but they give you just a little bit of shooting. So it sort of fits, but again, you're pretty limited. Like you can't play GP2, you can't play guys that just can't shoot the ball at all in these lineups. And that's the truth of it. Okay. So let's look at the situation where you are trading away Draymond Green. So you're saying, I'm going to wait on Jimmy Butler. We think that we would rather just have three stars and we're going to punt on this year because you don't have much to go off of, especially if Giannis is out for another month plus, and you're just going to make a run starting next year when Jimmy comes back. All right, the pros for it is that, yeah, Draymond Green away. We've seen a general decline in Draymond's play. When we get to the playoffs, we'll actually see what that decline is, if any. But Draymond Green, not his best year. He's getting a little more dinged up, not quite as impactful defensively, really, really struggling offensively. It's this offensive weakness that really has hurt the Warriors. A lot of turnovers, which has gotten slightly better. Not shooting well. And when he's not doing those, what's he really giving you? More importantly, when you have Steph and you have Giannis, how much Steph and Dre pick and roll are you running? You can run a lot of action off the two of them, but all that means is that Giannis is just sitting off ball, out of action, out of his own pick and roll, out of Steph and Giannis pick and roll. Yeah, it's a piece of the offense, but you're going to be going to a Steph and Draymond combo a little bit less. And with Giannis not a spacer, you can argue that, hey, it's a little bit trickier. I guess you put him in the dunker spot at that point, kind of like what Jimmy's doing. But again, it's not the most optimal offense. Also, you go to your motion offense, kind of with Draymond playing traffic cop, and that's his other role that he can play on offense. We don't know what Giannis looks like in a motion offense. We don't know what he, I mean, I'm sure he'll figure it out, but again, that's not going to be used probably quite as much when you have Giannis and Steph in the lineup. So for those reasons, the offense might have some kind of redundancies between Draymond and Giannis, and there's some general questions on how that would work. Defensively, yeah, it would be good, but again, for the reasons on the offense, that's a good case to be made for trading away Draymond. Obviously, the most important thing here, if you're trading Draymond, you're keeping Jimmy because Jimmy's a star, right? Yeah, you're hoping he comes back healthy, but Jimmy's a star. Jimmy gives you strength on the wing because no matter what, I mean, if you're lucky, you get a hold on to Moody in a trade, but there's a chance you're sending Moody off. What do you have on the wing here? I mean, you have like Buddy Hield. If Santos, maybe, but you're pretty weak. I mean, you'll have some free agency next year, but you're pretty weak at that small forward spot where you'd be putting Jimmy at this point with Giannis in the lineup. What you need some athleticism on the wing. You need someone who can defend multiple positions on the wing in addition to Giannis. You just want the three best players going forward. You have Steph, Giannis, and Jimmy, and maybe you're hopeful that after next year, maybe Steph takes a little pay cut. Maybe Jimmy takes a little pay cut, less than max contracts, and you can go get some wings. But as it stands, and for the second half of next year, where you're going for it, you have Jimmy Butler, and you have a nice third scorer in addition to Steph and Giannis. So that's the case for trading Dre, keeping Jimmy. But again, you have a whole lot of power forwards at that point, right? And all right, sorry, you're going to have a whole lot of power forwards. So that's the reason why you keep Jimmy because he's more naturally a small forward, and that fills what will become a huge hole at that point. the case to be made for trading Jimmy away and keeping Draymond. Depth. Okay. Depth is what the NBA is these days. You need to have good depth. You need it. We've seen a lot of these big three combinations. You know, you're the Brooklyn Nets with Durant, Harden, Kyrie, although it didn't really ever get off the floor and running. You saw the Suns try to do it with Durant, Booker, Beal. I mean, it can work, but there are diminishing returns, especially for your third star. When you have three stars, let me back up. My opinion in the NBA these days is in any given lineup of five, you need two primary scorers who can get their own shot and create for others. A third is a luxury, but in reality, it's almost a little excessive and it's great to have, but you're kind of, again, you're getting a little bit less out of everyone else. Because in theory, if you have two stars already, 90% of your possessions are going to run through them anyways. So yeah, you get a third star, 90, whatever, 5% of your possessions are running through a star at some point. And it gives everyone a little bit more rest and less usage. And it's great when in the middle of the game, you know, one of them's on the bench. It's great. But again, that third star kind of diminishing returns a little bit. You can make the case that it's better to surround two stars with a capable third scorer, but then additional better fourth, fifth, sixth players with better depth. And that seems to be the good recipe that's been winning in the NBA these days. Think like the Celtics a couple years ago with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and a whole bunch of, you know, not quite stars, but great depth pieces. I think the Nuggets, right? With, yeah, I mean, we can go through the teams. Anyways, when you make a trade that you give away Jimmy, now you, like we talked about, you're going to get a player back to match salaries because Jimmy matches Giannis's salary. You're sending out Kuminga, obviously, too. So you're already getting back something in the 20 to maybe even $30 million range, whoever else you're attaching. The Bucks have Kyle Kuzma. They have Bobby Portis. They have Miles Turner. I don't know exactly which I would want. Kuzma gives you the best semblance of a small forward. So if you're giving Jimmy away, yeah, you get Kuzma, but I don't really like Kuzma. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't really shoot very well. He gives you kind of like 12 to 14 points scoring and can play small forward, but he's not really a playmaker. He's kind of just a guy that will give you some empty points and just kind of a small forward sized body. But he does have championship experience. He wouldn't be the worst in the world. And there'd be some value. Portis, kind of more of your general stretch four, can play a stretch five in these lineups. I think he can fit and he shoots well. I think he shoots like over 41, 42% from three. Also, a guy that doesn't play great defense, but he can rebound well and he'll give you a little bit more scoring than Kuzma, even as a stretch big. Lastly, Miles Turner, who the Warriors have loved for a long time now as a stretch center, gives you great rim protection. If you're trading away Jimmy, that means you're keeping Draymond Green. Do you really need Draymond, Giannis, and Turner? I mean, it sounds like a lot of redundancies on defense in terms of rim protection. You wouldn't be able to play all three of them together at any point. So I don't, it's a weird fit for Turner, but he gives you spacing as a center on offense, which is probably the nicest, cleanest fit here as a five. If you already have Horford, you know, you can argue who's getting the minutes there. Anyways. Turner would be nice. The problem is, I think he has an additional 3 years on his contract at like $25 million, and the Warriors have been reluctant to take on big, long salaries. So, what do you do? Who do you take? I'm not going to get into that at this point. It's just nice to have some additional depth. Additionally, if you're trading Jimmy Butler away and holding on to Draymond, it means you give yourself a run at this year. Assuming Giannis comes back healthy, you give yourself a chance to sneak into the playoffs and you are maximizing and giving a chance while you still have Melton and while you have this team, which has been decent. It's a fringe playoff team with and without Jimmy. You know, we gave the Pistons a run, beat the Timberwolves last week. You know, this team has looked pretty good. It's basically the team from last year before we got Jimmy, which again was decent. You saw when we added Jimmy, we had a chance to go on a run to the Western Conference Finals. Well, subtract Jimmy, add Giannis, add Melton, add Horford, and this team is better than last year's team and could make a run if Steph gets hot and, you know, you give yourself one more roll of the dice. by doing this trade and trading Jimmy, keeping Dre, and giving yourself a run this year as well. For the reason, it's close, but for the reasons that if you trade Jimmy, you're making a run this year, you're getting more depth. And the fact that, I'm not a big fan of three stars, and I think it's a little overvalued. I would lean towards, I hate to say it because I usually just like the best players, but I would lean towards trading Jimmy at this point and roll with your boy Dre. Hopefully he can figure it out and be a 16 game player. And then you're going to get some good value out of that return piece you're getting from the Bucks in addition to Giannis. So I would lean towards trading Jimmy. Oh, and the other point is you just don't know if Jimmy's going to come back healthy too. Who knows? He's 36 next year and you just don't know for sure, how long the ACL is going to take, and we'll see from there. All right. Sorry, this one's a little long, but I wanted to cover, all the updates and debate this a little bit. Who would you guys rather keep? Or sorry, who would you rather trade away? Trade away Draymond and keep Jimmy, or would you rather trade away Jimmy, keep Draymond? Because the Warriors are going to get Giannis, and this is the decision we get to make. Also, who would you want out of Kuzma, Portis, Turner? Make that decision as well. Anyways, next time we talk, I'll probably be back before the deadline. It sounds like nothing's going to happen until Wednesday at the earliest, probably Thursday. So we may talk before that. We may not. Hopefully, we'll have good news. All right. If you made it this far, hook it up with subscribe, follow, like. Appreciate you guys. I've been Chris Chin. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.